problems caused directly or indirectly by the US government on flimsy pretexts. A number of channels such as BBC Persian and Iran International, which seek subversive agendas inside Iran via spreading misinformation, are all immune to Washington's whims. A minor case of hypocrisy by the self-proclaimed champion of freedom of expression. It's not simply a practice of undermining journalism or free speech. It is an attack on the truth itself.
Any of these countries like China, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Cuba, they are demonized and their media outlets are portrayed as foreign agents, which is quite incredible. And we've seen incredible hypocrisy in the sense that not only does the U.S. government falsely dub these fact-oriented, totally fact-based media outlets as supposed foreign agents, but even on social media, which is ostensibly independent from the U.S. government, but really we know that many of these big tech corporations in Silicon Valley are U.S. government contractors that closely follow the U.S. government line, they have also been labeling foreign government-backed media outlets like RT, like CGTN, like Press TV, labeling them as controlled by the Russian government, as Google says, and Google owns YouTube, and we've also seen Twitter do the same thing, and Facebook.
The fact is, the mission of Press TV's independent journalism, which is to set distorted narratives right across the region and the world, has made the channel a strong alternative voice for the oppressed. And that's not what the Americans can put up with.
The Western media and the West-controlled media, you know, or the what they call the mainstream media, they portray a particular thing, a particular, you know, international problem in a particular this frame. And Iranian, the Press TV is challenging that. Probably they are providing an alternative thought. So naturally, this is a competition. So in that competition, Press TV is now facing the heat.
By way of comparison, what they've done to Press TV is a larger scale operation of what they've done to the founder of WikiLeaks and other whistleblowers across the world, muting alternative voices at any cost. In the words of Asa Winstanley, the Electronic Intifada, an online Chicago-based publication covering the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the action of the U.S. government in seizing these websites shows that this is the action of a gangster regime. It is the action of thugs, really. The U.S. government is no stranger to using the American monopoly over the means of communication online to shut down alternative voices from other countries. For example, in August 2018, Facebook deplatformed Venezuela-based outlets Telesur English, which offered differing opinions and analysis of the U.S. government's actions in Venezuela and Latin America. American scholar Richard Falk believes that by shutting down Press TV, the U.S. is attempting to deprive Iran of its capacity to challenge hostile propaganda and put forth its own counter-narrative of controversial events and more generally of peace, justice, and democratic governance. All in all, this is not the first time Press TV is targeted by the U.S., and by the looks of things, it will not be the last one. Fighting for the truth is what Press TV unflinchingly believes in, and it will never give it up, come hell or high water.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami dini wal-Azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jalad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me Sheikh Javid. Well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. In this episode, we are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws of miscellaneous nature according to Ayatollah Sistani. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hawza lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ashraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, what are the different types of waiting periods or iddah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, there are three types of iddah period or waiting period, you know. Iddah period for the for temporary marriage, which is 45 days, and waiting period for the permanent marriage, which is of course 3 menses,
Basically 3 months.
I will tell you that sometimes it has to be 3 months and sometimes 3 menses, okay? Depending on whether a woman has reached menopause or not.
I see.
Depending on whether a woman has regular menstrual blood or discharge or not, okay? If a woman does not get her period, even though she is young, she is at an age where she's supposed to have the monthly period, okay? But because of some reasons, okay, medical reasons, she's not, she does not have her regular period. And sometimes maybe she has and sometimes she does not have. So in the event that she doesn't have her regular period, then she has to observe iddah for 3 months.
I see.
And in the case of temporary marriage, she has to wait for two months if she does not get her period, monthly period. Otherwise,
if she gets it,
if
45
she gets
days.
It, it's going to be 45 days. And if she gets it, it's going to be 3 menses. As soon as the third mense, menstrual period starts, then she is considered to be out of the waiting period. and then all the things which were haram for her become halal. Like, for example, getting married to another woman, talking to another man, talking to other men for, let's say, for marriage, for, mm-hmm. yeah, for let's say, lawful relationship. Yes, these are the things which are halal. And then we have a third one.
Yes, the third time.
The waiting period is the waiting period which is for the death of, observed on the death of the husband, you see, which is called Idda of death or Idda of wafat, okay? Mm-hmm. And of course the...
How long is it?
Yeah, the waiting period for the death of the husband is 4 months and 10 days. Four mm-hmm. months and 10 days. So... If a woman...
Doesn't it depend on whether the woman is experiencing menopause or not?
No, it has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with menstruation. It has nothing to do with
menopause.
being in menopause or having attained menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, whether a woman is aged or old or young, she still, out of respect for her husband, must observe the waiting period.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, waiting period does not mean that she cannot interact with other people, she cannot go out shopping, she cannot, let's say, go to her relative's house. Of course, all these are activities are allowed. Unlike some people who think that a woman who is in her waiting period must not interact with other people, must not go out shopping, and she must not do anything. She must wait in her house and do nothing. That's not the correct assumption. It's not correct to say that a woman mm-hmm. cannot do this. Of course, a woman in her idda of death, in the idda of death, is not supposed to wear new and fashionable clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She cannot wear makeup, and she cannot talk to any man for marriage, okay? These are the two things which are haram. Otherwise...
So they can't even perform nikah.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
That's
no, I'm not talking about marriage.
Yeah.
Then.
The performing nikah is not allowed, okay? But when the 4 months and 10 days are over, then, of course, she can wear new dress, new mm-hmm. clothes, and, of course, there's a difference between wearing new clothes and wearing neat clothes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's permissible to wear neat and tidy clothes, you
yes.
know, but it's not permissible to wear fashionable and new clothes and to express joy and happiness, and also it's all because of respect for the husband who has died, okay?
I see.
And there's also a kind of idda which is observed by a Muslim woman whose husband has left Islam, whose husband has abandoned Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, there is a Muslim woman whose husband was Muslim, but all of a sudden the husband actually apostatizes. He converts to, let's say, Christianity or Judaism, or he converts to another religion, leaving Islam, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when the husband becomes kafir, non-Muslim, or unbeliever, the woman is supposed to observe idda of 4 months and 10 days. During this month, this time, 4 months and 10 days, if the husband returns, gets back, and regrets his decision to change his religion and to go out of Islam,
right.
And he comes back to Islam, regretting and expressing actually remorse, in that case, of course, they can get back to each other, and there's no need for any nikah. But if during this time the husband does not come back to Islam and does not regret his decision, of course the marriage is null and void, and of course the woman can marry another woman without there being any nikah, because that is without there being any divorce, because leaving Islam, apostasy, is itself breaks the marriage, okay?
Yes.
There's no need for any divorce.
And in that case, when the husband, in fact, leaves Islam,
sure.
Well, is the waiting period again necessary for the woman?
Why not? That's what I'm telling you.
Yes.
Because the waiting period is 4 months and 10 days, I
yes.
said. But the
waiting period goes away as soon as the husband gets back to Islam again.
Of course, yeah. When the husband comes back and says, "Okay, I have done a great mistake.
Yeah,
yes,
yes.
I don't want to. Yeah, I'm still a Muslim. I've done a great mistake. Astaghfirullah," and he's repentant. And of course, then the husband and woman can live together during the waiting period without a need for renewing the nikah.
I see.
Yes.
The Office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social, and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
Imagine a situation, Sheikh Javid, that we have a temporary marriage between a man and his wife, and they decide to change this temporary marriage into a permanent one, okay?
Yeah.
And the time of the temporary marriage is left, that time that they promise each other and decide on. A part of it is left, so it's yet to expire. And can they change the marriage into a permanent marriage, first of all? And second, is there any iddah that has to be observed by the woman in this case with the same husband?
Yeah, of course, this is also one of the frequently asked questions. A lot of couples, you see, when they start living together, first they contract temporary marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Temporary marriage.
Yes.
And then they, after a few months or a few days, they actually change the temporary marriage into permanent marriage.
Right.
There's no objection as far as this practice is concerned. But of course, the temporary marriage cannot be changed into permanent marriage without the husband foregoing or exempting the wife of the remaining time. So there are two options that the husband and the woman should opt for. One is the husband should forego the remaining time, forsake the remaining time, or he should exempt his wife of the remaining time. This is one option. The other option is that the woman should wait until the period fixed for the temporary marriage expires, comes to an end, and then they can contract permanent marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? They can conclude permanent marriage, and there is no other way. As long as the time of the marriage contract,
mm-hmm.
temporary marriage contract,
yes.
remains,
mm-hmm.
And as long as the temporary marriage is in effect, the husband cannot actually conclude permanent marriage.
Okay.
The permanent will be null. Permanent marriage will be null and void.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
محيي المؤمنين. in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
Muslim lady.
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. It is my absolute honor and pleasure to be with you guys today. And of course, with my wonderful friend and sister, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's really an honor for me to be here.
So, Sister Razia, we've been talking about reproductive system health and hygiene for both men and women. And we have been discussing some herbal, natural, sometimes even off-the-counter remedies to help men boost their sperm health and count, to have healthier reproductive systems. So we talked about melon, watermelon, and melon. Melon is different from watermelon. It's
definitely
like longer, and the color is like orangish.
I haven't seen watermelon in the West. In the West. No, I have seen like different kinds of melons, but not watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean this kharbuza that we have in Iran.
Right.
Maybe lately they have like imported them. Another fruit that is really good for the male reproductive system is sweet pomegranate.
Sweet pomegranate.
Not sour pomegranate.
Right, interesting.
Yeah, it actually increases the sperm amount and will make the child very beautiful. Yes, so this is another blessing from God. Another one is the olive, whether it's olive oil, whether the olive itself. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that olives actually increase the semen, the sperms. And specifically in the 3-month self-care period where
the man and the woman have to
detox and everything. So in this 3 months, if you use melon, watermelon, olives, sweet pomegranate, they're really, really good. Another nutrient which is very good for a man is fresh milk with honey.
Interesting.
Yes, it's really good food for empowering the sperm, enabling it to be more active and to have a good count.
There was a study shown that a group of people were put on a diet of honey and milk for a while, and the only deficiency they had was vitamin C. But don't do it. I mean, I can never drink honey and milk because I already have a problem. I have an underlying problem. But for a healthy body, honey and milk really provides everything.
Yeah, it's really, it's really, because it also calcium is very, very, very good for in the sperm reproduction.
Mm-hmm, interesting.
And because there's plenty of calcium in milk, probably one of the reasons that, and also I think honey makes the absorption of this milk and the nutrients in milk so much easier. That's why it's
recommended.
And having it one or two glasses a day to have them in their program, in their daily nutrition is very good. Another very, very good fruit, as we've also, is very also very good for women, is quince. It's really, really, really good for puring the sperm, for refreshing it up, to have like to not have old sperms that have deficient sperms, and also it's very, very good for improving the nerves, the nervous system
of the baby,
of the father.
Right. It's important to have a father with a healthy nervous system.
Exactly.
It really is.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, besides having all the nutrition, you know, the good nutrients, you have to have a very good psychological, being in a good psychological state. So if you have the best of the best fruits and vegetables in the world, but you're always tense and stressed, so you would not, you would have a lot of problems with your sperm. For quince, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that if prior, you know, in the very beginning of the day, you know, before having anything else, on an empty stomach, have a quince, since it purifies your semen and it makes the face and countenance of your child very beautiful.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
So
okay.
It's very good.
All of these so far are Middle Eastern fruits.
And right these days, everything is exported and imported, so you don't have any problem.
But still, I know for a fact that Southeast Asian countries, unless you go to like really high-end malls, and even if they're imported, they're probably like festered with preservatives. And what's the other thing that you said, which also affects fertility?
Pesticides,
you know?
Yeah.
It defeats the objective. So what is a person who's living in the West or living
That's
in South America
question.
Or Southeast Asia supposed to eat? Ginseng. Ginseng in Southeast Asian culture is literally the solution to everything. And increases libido and it healthens the sperm. And ginger and garlic.
Exactly. We're gonna
and, oh, thank you. Alhamdulillah. Gentlemen, you're saved. Worry not.
I don't know if at the time of the Prophet they had the roman, the pomegranate, grown in Saudi Arabia.
They did.
Have you heard of gardens of pomegranate?
Yes.
I've heard of gardens of anab, but I haven't heard any gardens of pomegranate or of quince in Saudi Arabia. So
but I know that they had roman, they had pomegranate.
And I know that at that time they brought in, they imported a lot of like stuff from Sham,
Yemen,
the Shamat,
Bahrain,
right,
Shamat,
and these places.
We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
We're back here on Muslim Lady with my special guest, Sister Razia Shamily, where we're discussing the health and hygiene of male reproductive system.
Now let's go to some herbs that are very good for the men's, male's reproductive system. One of them is chicory.
Okay.
Yeah. Chicory, whether you use the fresh vegetable or you take the extract in terms of the extract of chicory, it's been mentioned in a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that try to have chicory as it increases the amount of semen. It increases your semen, and also it makes your child to be very beautiful. And also for those who want to have male children who want to have a baby boy, chicory is a very good herb to be used. Also, for those people who have a hot temper, chicory is very good for cooling down the system and to calm them. And it's especially very good to be used in springtime, as this is the time that it grows, and you can use the fresh chicory plant. And when it's not the time, you can use the dry leaves of chicory and crush them, and use one teaspoon of chicory in a hot glass of water.
Yep.
Add some honey and use like two small portions of this juice every single day.
Mm.
Right. Something else, another fruit which you can find in East and the West, it's pear. So pear, I'm sure you've heard that it's very good for making the baby very beautiful. It's very, very good for the male semen or the sperms. Also, in other religious sources, it's been mentioned to have local eggs, local organic eggs, right? Eggs are very, very good for
high
sperm
protein,
production,
yeah.
High in protein. Also, eggplant in fall time, as it increases the libido. And strengthens the semen. Also, in the book of Avicenna, in the traditional medicine that he has mentioned some points about strengthening the male reproductive system. He talks about certain nutrients for the males. One of which is sweet grapes, as it strengthens the semen. And when it's out of their time, raisins are really, really good. And also some other herbs that are highly recommended to be used by men is chives, which you can find plenty
everywhere,
of everywhere in the world.
Make sure to brush your teeth after you're done eating chives, though.
Also, thistles, mint.
Okay, mint is good.
Mint is very good. Mint tea, whether you want to have like mojitos, cold or hot drinks, they're great in increasing the reproductive power of men. And instead of having the lettuce or the ordinary kind of salads that we are accustomed to these days, you go to the coffee shops, you go to restaurants, at homes, everywhere you have lettuce, try to replace it with these kinds of herbs.
Right, yeah. It's so
these are fabulous for the, you know, for
so
strengthening
the... So lettuce in itself is very, it has very good qualities. It's high in calcium,
but it's very cold
fiber,
in nature.
It's cold in nature, exactly.
And it's not good for the reproductive
system of men or women.
Yeah, so
fact.
Try to replace them with these fruits and vegetables and herbs. One more thing that is very highly recommended in the book of Avicenna is the seed of certain vegetables. For example, seed of carrots. Seed of
carrots. But carrots are cold. Carrots?
I don't think they're cold. Carrot seeds, celery seed.
Like, how are you supposed to eat this?
Let me tell you.
Okay.
Purslane seed, black radish seed, white radish seed,
right.
Celery seed, purslane seed, sesame seeds.
Definitely sesame seeds.
Right? The way you have to do it is that you have to take 100 gram of each of these seeds, clean them, not to have any stones. Grind them together, and every single day have one teaspoon in, put it in hot water, and for 40 days have that.
Subhanallah.
It will help you with your
baby making machine,
exactly. Besides these nuts, such as almond, pistachio, hazelnut, and walnuts, they're super, super good for empowering the sperm. It's especially good for men. And also, if you find them to be hot in nature, try to have
followed
a little bit of
chicory right.
afterwards.
Okay. To cool you off.
To cool you off, exactly.
Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, for this most informative, knowledgeable, and interesting discussion. I learned a lot, and I hope our listeners benefited from our discussion as well. To all the gentlemen out there, take care of yourselves to have better lives, better wives, better children, and a better hereafter. Thank you for being with us on this episode of Muslim Lady. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Hossein Barakat was sentenced in 2018, along with 53 other individuals, to life in prison in a mass trial of 138 Bahraini citizens due to their opposition to the regime's decades-old discrimination and tyranny. He was also stripped of his citizenship, which was later restored by royal decree. Reportedly, there were 15 prisoners in Barakat's cell, which had only 10 beds, hence some of the inmates had to sleep on the floor. Bahraini human rights activist Mariam Khawaja, whose own father is imprisoned in jail, said Barakat told his wife during his last phone call that he could not breathe and was going to die. The fact is, since the outbreak of the coronavirus inside Bahrain prisons, preventative measures inside prisons have not been implemented, and the authorities continue the policy of deliberate medical neglect.
They are known for their unhealthy environment and lack of basic necessities, especially at this dire time and at this crucial time of the pandemic outbreak. And those prisoners, as we know, normal patients, the people who are outside the prison suffer a lot. So what about those who are in prison who already are suffering?
Meanwhile, dissolved Bahraini opposition group Al-Wafaq has been calling for the release of prisoners of conscience since the start of the pandemic. According to Americans for Democracy and Human Rights in Bahrain, a second outbreak at Jiao began on the 22nd of May and has infected an estimated 60% of the 255 political prisoners housed at Building 12 of the prison. An earlier outbreak in March saw at least 140 inmates infected with the virus. Bird estimates that the total number of COVID cases in both Jiao and the Dry Dock Detention Center has far exceeded 200 cases since March.
This, of course, amounts to a deliberate killing, to a political assassination, as if the government of Bahrain, if not murdering those prisoners during torture, during executions, it's now dealing with the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic as an opportunity to revenge against those political prisoners, merely because those political prisoners, those peaceful protesters, political activists, human rights defenders, clerics.
Speaking from inside the Dry Dock Detention Center, inmate Ali Al-Haji said, "Most prisoners are mistreated, physically and mentally. It's always the same thing, torture and a lack of proper medical care." Particular concern has been raised about the aging leaders of the 2011 pro-democracy uprising, including Hassan Mulshema, who is in his 80s and suffers serious health conditions, placing him at high risk from coronavirus.
The only crime of those political prisoners is that they have called for an elected government, for a constitutional monarchy, for a new constitution which guarantees their rights, their freedoms, which tolerates all citizens equally.
In the words of Hussein Abdullah, executive director of ADHRB, following this tragic death, the Biden administration and the UK government must make clear to their Bahraini allies that holding political opponents as hostages will no longer be tolerated.
The Bahraini government deal with the political prisoners, more than 3,000 political prisoners, as hostages. It neglects their rights merely because those people have once took to the streets and called for their basic freedoms, their basic rights. So it's the same practice, as the practices of the Zionist occupiers against the Palestinians. They have a lot of commonalities between those two parties. So they deal with those people as they are hostages. They neglect their rights.
Hussein Barakat's son, Ali Barakat, is also serving a 22-year sentence in Jiao after being convicted on political charges in a separate case when he was just 16. Despite an earlier outbreak of COVID-19 at the prison in March and April 2021, the prison administration had still failed to distribute face masks or hand sanitizer to protect prisoners. Overcrowding in Bahrain's prisons is a long-standing concern which makes social distancing impossible. In early April, inmates at Bahrain's Jiao prison protested against the lack of medical treatment and fearing for their lives after the death of another inmate. Prison authorities instead threw stun grenades, beating inmates with batons to force them back inside their overcrowded cells.
The inmates have been protesting about conditions of detention, particular the lack of access to medical treatment. The sit-in began on 5th April after a political prisoner, Aba Mal'ala, died after reportedly being denied timely access to essential health care. The lack of health care in the overcrowded Bahraini prisons has been an issue for years, but has become a chronic problem during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Hussein Barakat's death could have been avoided had the Bahraini regime heeded calls to set free political prisoners so as to prevent the spread of the virus.
Victim Hussein Barakat hasn't been the first victim which who passed inside the Bahraini prisoners. We have a lot of cases. We have Martyr Karim Fakhrawi, who died in prison and because of torture. We have the case of Sayyid Qasim al-Sahlawi. Also, we have the case of Martyr Muhammad Sahwan, who had like mostly 80 sharpeners in his head because of the riot police. There are a lot of cases of prisoners who passed away inside those notorious prisons merely because of torture, of medical neglection.
With overcrowded cells, unsanitary conditions, and a lack of preventative measures, this disastrous outbreak seems to continue and claim more lives of those whose only crime was calling for freedom and democracy.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس
Dear listeners, in the previous programs, we talked about different phrases in the beginning of this dua. We talked about وَبِوَجْهِكَ الْبَاغِي بَعْدَ فَنَاءِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ I ask you by your face, which subsists after annihilation of all things. So the supplicant up to now has called out unto his Lord, the Lord who's pre-existing and eternal. And he knows that nothing in this world exists independently. The supplicant continues, وَبِأَسْمَائِكَ الَّتِي مَلَأَتْ أَرْكَانَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ I ask you, O Allah, by your names, which have filled the foundations of all things. So, وَبِأَسْمَائِكَ الَّتِي and by your names, the word asma or names in this divine phrase that does not merely denote the lexical names that are composed of series of letters, but it is talking about the attributes. These asma are indicating the facts, concepts, and attributes which these names connote. Almighty Allah's mercy, knowledge, justice, and power are the basics for all things. In other words, all things are signs of the Almighty Allah, the creative, the shaper, the all-knowing, all all-seeing, the just, the wise, the merciful, and the compassionate. The creatures are all created, continue existence, and obtain sustenance based on these facts and attributes of the Almighty Allah. So the supplicant is not looking at these asma as mere combination of letters. The lexical names are manifestations of the real names, of the attributes. What are significant in the existence, identity, and repute of all things are the real names, not the lexical ones. Anyhow, Allah's real names are mediators for the happening of actualities in this world. That's why in the supplication we are recommended to recite and read in Friday afternoons, we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bismika al-azim al-a'zam al-a'azz al-ajall al-akram. O Allah, I ask you by your great name, the most powerful, the most notable, the most worthy. الذي إذا دعيت به على مغالق أبواب السماء للفتح بالرحمة فتحت. By which, if you are called for opening the heavens' doors, they are opened by mercy. وإذا دعيت به على مضائق أبواب الأرض للفرج فرجت. If you are called for opening the earthly doors, they are opened. وإذا دعيت به على العسر لليسر تيسرت. And if you are called by those names for relieving the troubles, they are relieved. وَإِذَا دُعِيتَ بِهِ عَلَى الْأَمْوَاتِ لِلنُّشُورِ انتشرت. And if you are called by your great name for the resurrection of the dead, they will be alive. وَإِذَا دُعِيتَ بِهِ عَلَى كَشْفِ الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ انكشفت. And if you are called for removing poorness and anxiety, they are removed.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny. Oh Allah, I beseech you, by your mercy which encompasses everything, and by your power by which you overcome everything, and which submits to it everything, and humble before it is everything. And by your might by which you conquer everything, and by your majesty against which nothing can stand, and by your greatness which prevails over everything, and by your authority which is exercised over everything, and by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished, and by your names which manifest your power over everything, and by your knowledge which pervades everything, and by the light of your face which illuminates everything. O he who is light, O he most holy, O he who is light, O he most holy.
So what materializes the needs stated in this supplication is not the mere name that is consisted of the letters. The name itself and its reality is the one we're talking about. The attributes that are the basis for all things are the reality of the existing realities, which are called the names in the Holy Quran, and of course some of the traditions. Among the manifestations of Almighty Allah's name is the Prophet's household and the infallible Imams, alayhim as-salam, who have special characteristics, and we all know that they are the mediators of Almighty Allah's mercy for people, and they will be so until the day of resurrection. Almighty Allah's mercy and guidance is granted to the people through the Imams, and the believers' deeds are also accepted through them. The great scholar Al-Fayl al-Kashani, in his valuable commentary of Quran, has narrated Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, نَحْنُ وَاللَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى الَّذِي لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ عَمَلًا إِلَّا بِمَعْرِفَتِنَا. By Allah, we, the Prophet's household, are Allah's glorious names. Allah accepts not a single deed from His servants except that they know us and appreciate our position. So, as a result, concentrating to the lexus does not benefit the human or manifest a reality for him. We should go beyond the words. We should go beyond the phrases to the realm of reality. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. We invite you to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-Ali al-Azim. In order to reach the definition of dhikr from a Quranic perspective, we need to review the Quranic understanding of light.